The schoolmaster.
At 2 in the morning, she gave herself 1 minute on his frequency. That was the ration. 60 seconds with the dial stopped where his signal used to sit, the headphones full of the long wash a dead band makes, and then back to the search, because the watch was not hers to spend. 6 nights now. The minute had brought her nothing 6 times, and she had not skipped it once. The watchroom was the attic of a requisitioned hotel on the front in an East Coast town that had sold its summers before the war and now sold nothing. 4 receivers stood on trestle tables under the slope of the roof. The window was boarded and painted over, but the sea came through anyway, underneath the hum of the sets, a softer static below the static. Vera and Joan sat the voice positions by the chimney breast, headphones on, waiting for the e-boats to talk to one another in quick spoken German out along the convoy lanes. Jean's table was Morse. Her work was to hunt along the band until she found German naval traffic and to take it down, letter by letter, in pencil, on log sheets with a carbon underneath. The letters came up in groups, and the groups meant nothing. They were built to mean nothing. Somewhere out in the dark, a machine had chewed a man's plain words into that gravel, and nobody in the attic, nobody on this coast, could turn it back into speech. She wrote down what she could not read the way the tide takes the weather, completely and without being asked to understand it. At 6, the sheets went down 2 flights to the teleprinter and away to a place whose name nobody in the house had ever been told. No correction ever came back, and no thank you. In 14 months, not 1 word about what any night of it had been for. He had first come up in April, and she had known him for somebody within the week. Most operators sent the way men walk in boots, hurrying or dragging, banging the dots down as if the key had done something to them. This one laid his letters out like a man ruling lines in an exercise book, each group considered before he let it go. Before his traffic, he sent his V's, patient as a metronome, and there was a flaw in his R, the first dot shaved almost to nothing, that belonged to him and to no other operator in the German Navy. By June, she could have found him on a crowded band as easily as her own name on a page of print. The log even had a place for it, because a hand is intelligence. Same operator as transmissions of the 14th, she would write, and the log was correct, and the log did not know the 10th of it. She called him the schoolmaster. Only in her head, there was nowhere else to keep him. 8 months is a long time to listen to one man being careful. She knew his relief, a slapdash hand that made her cross the way a neighbor's slammed door makes you cross. She knew that dirty weather slowed his sending and never once smudged it. His times were as fixed in her as the bus's home, and on nights when the band stayed empty at his hour, she noticed, as if a light had gone off in a house across the street. And she knew nothing. A fist, a frequency, a shaved dot. Vera's Germans had voices. You could hear one of them swearing about the cold 20 miles out, and the attic laughed at him once, quietly, like girls in church. Her German had a hand. There is no sound a hand makes that you could ever tell your mother about. Nobody had forbidden her to know him. It had not occurred to anybody that the knowing would need forbidding. The form she had signed at 18, her name at the bottom in a girl's careful hand, took everything around the knowing instead. She could not say his invented name out loud in the mess. She could not ask what the groups had said, because nobody on this coast could answer. And she could not ask where the sheets went, or who read them, or what was done with any of it, because the asking itself was the offense. Last Tuesday, he had come up an hour before his time, and for the first time in 8 months, his sending was wrong. Quick, crowded. The group shoved against one another, the V's cut short, and under the hurry, the shaved R still there, like a limp a man cannot run out of. She logged the time and the frequency and flagged the change in him, because a change of hand is intelligence too. And the duty officer came and took the sheet off her table mid-watch, which never happened, and was on the telephone before she had settled her headphones again. Out on the roof, the direction-finding aerial went round after his signal. Jean went back along the band. That was the whole of her part. She found traffic, and she took it down. Near 4 o'clock, Vera's table came alive. Plain German, spoken, fast, Vera's pencil going like a sewing machine, and Jones after it. And then, before the cocoa had gone round, nothing at all. Vera lifted one earpiece and looked at Joan, and put it back on. Nobody spoke until the watch changed. In the forenoon, a signal was pinned up by the mess door. Coastal forces had engaged enemy light craft overnight. A successful action. Well done to all concerned. The other girls read it in a nod at the door, with the pride they were permitted, and one of them said, "That was ours. That was this house." And it was true, and everyone knew better than to say more. Jean read it with her cup in her hand and let the tea go cold and carried it back upstairs full, and could not have said, that morning, why. Tuesday's sheets were already gone. They had gone at 6, as sheets went every morning, carrying the flag change in his hand, and at the foot of each one her initials, J.M.R. She had signed 100 sheets. She had never once before thought about what a signature was for. He might have been transferred. She told herself the whole list, nights, in order. Boats went into the pens for engine trouble. Crews were rested. Schedules moved. Frequencies changed with the moon. The arithmetic always came out at the same place. She was not going to be told. There was no list she would ever see, and no name on it if she saw one, because she had never had his name, only his R. Other women were handed a telegram, or a name in a printed column, something to grieve on. She had been issued nothing. It went on anyway, whatever it was. It had gone on that morning in the shape of a full cup of tea, carried up 2 flights, and set down cold. There was nobody to say it to. The censor read the letters home, and what could a letter hold? That a sound had stopped? Vera would have been kind, and Vera would have said, "Love, they're the enemy." And Vera would have been right, and it would not have touched the thing at all. Tonight at 2, she stopped the dial where his signal used to sit and watched the second hand of the watchroom clock go round once. Seawash. The empty band wide as the sea it crossed. At a minute past, she drew the pad to her and wrote the truest sentence she was allowed. 0200 to 0201. No transmissions heard. At 6, it would go down to the teleprinter with everything else, and whoever read it, wherever they read it, would see a routine line in a routine log and never know it was a woman listening for one man. She put her initials under it, quietly, like closing a door. Then she turned the dial north and hunted along the band until she found a new hand working somewhere off the Dutch coast, a heavy-thumbed man with his own way of leaning on an S, and she sharpened her pencil and began, letter by letter, to take him down.